thou art. Good morning, everybody. Welcome all of you that are here. Hey, Patricia Gatlin, good to see you along with your sister there. And I'm so glad to see visitors here today. Did you not know that I was going to be preaching today? You're going to have to put up with me, folks. I tell you what, I know how much you're going to miss Mike, and I know I will. And we'll just do what we can as we continue to fill in. And I know that the elders will be forthcoming with someone that will be effective in the pulpit. Glad to have all of you folks that are visiting with us today. How great thou art! How great is God! Well, before I start preaching, I must explain something about these shoes that I'm wearing. Anyway, I don't know if you looked at them yet, but if you didn't, be sure to come by and look at them. But you see what happened was, I've got another real fancy black pair of shoes that I wear, usually in the assembly. Those things weigh, it seemed to me, like 10 pounds. Boy, they're pretty, because I can polish them up and they look good. But I crushed this left foot with something. I have no idea what I did. And when I pulled my sock off last night before getting the bath, guess what? That top of that foot there was just as red with blood and stuff all in there. My leg was swollen. I don't know what I did. But trying to get this thing in that heavy shoe, I wasn't about to try it. But I have these loafing shoes. I hope you don't mind them. Boy, I'm going to preach good in them because I want to start preaching in them a whole lot. I want you to know I'm starting about 15 after 11 this morning, and I have a 20-minute sermon for you, but I want your attention every single minute of it. Okay, thank you for coming. How great thou art! The heavens declare the glory of God. I'd like to shout that throughout all the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky of the firmament showeth His handiwork. Just look at it. Is there a God? Sure there is. How do you know it? The foolish said there is no God. Psalm 14:1. God answers it. The heavens speak, declare the glory of God. They're there because of Him. The sky, the heavens. Look up in it, how beautiful the mountains and all as they're in the background, and you see the different shapes and all the beautiful things in the clouds, sunsets. How could it be any other way? How can a man say God is dead? How can a man say, oh, this came as a result, one star bursting, and boom, all it came into existence? When the Bible says, in the heavens, declare the glory of God, and the sky showeth His handiwork. Our God is an awesome God. The word awesome, I like that word. It's defined as extremely impressive or daunting, inspiring, great admiration, apprehension, or fear. Extremely good, excellent. And what a wonderful thing to know that your God and my God put us here. Aren't you glad to be American today on the 4th of July? To see a flag that honors God. We look up and we praise Jehovah. Let's thank God for America and for being citizens of this great land. But my friends, our citizenship here in this country is a wonderful blessing. But your citizenship and my citizenship up in heaven is tremendous. God, to be there, to live with Him forever. Look what Job said in Job 37 in verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend. You can't even think of something that God cannot do. Powerful. Psalms 19:1 that we just quoted, and to remember the fact that this God who has created the heavens and the earth, this God said, I care for you, I love you, I want you. Cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He does care for us. 1 Peter 5 and verse. If you're troubled this morning, if there's something in your heart, in your life, it's not right. If you need the Lord, then turn to Him. Because God said, I care. God's people care. We want to know when our brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors are going through all difficulties. Why? Because we care as God cares. Our God cares for us. In Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Never one time has He ever spoken a single thing in vain. It comes out exactly as He said. He makes a promise. He told His disciples in Matthew 28, all power hath been given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's great. Marvelous. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all. And the hosts of heaven worship Thee, and we do too. For in John 4, 23 and 24, the hour cometh when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seek to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Guy McDaniel's got to do what? Worship his Creator. Why? And how? Because God loves it when people worship Him. And He tells us to do it in spirit and in truth. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, He's the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He's that solid rock of ages that we sing about, because He is our God, and He loves us, and He cares for us. And nothing is like God. When I turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Forget that foolishness, because the God that you serve is the God that knows you. He looks down in our hearts. He sees us. He knows what all we're doing. And no wonder we find in Deuteronomy 4, verse 31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Remember that story in Luke chapter 18, where there are two men that are praying? One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Pharisee was thanking God in his prayer how good He is. What happened to the publican? The Bible says that he just smote his breast, on his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's God looking at? You. How do you get before Him? By giving Him you. We've got to do what? God be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. No wonder we can read in the Word of God, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. In the book of Psalms 19, if you look drop down here, notice in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Number one, you can write it down. You can say it over and over and over. There's no imperfections at all with God's law. You want to do some converting? You want people to be able to be converted to Jesus Christ? Use the means of the conversion. The power is in the Word. I went and talked to a lady one time. She loved the truth, but she wasn't following it completely. But when she learned the truth, she simply obeyed it. Even though she was an older lady. She did what? She let truth be. Because the Word of God is perfect, complete. The Bible says it converts the soul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not just to a special group. It is to everyone. It is the power of God. Then the Bible tells us the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I want to be wise, don't you? You want something to make you wise? Learn. No. Those judgments are the testimony of the Lord. Why, my friend, someone has stated, a single sentence of the testimony of God outweighs the opinions of 1,000 of the most learned men who ever lived. Because you see, God's testimony of the Lord is sure. Thirdly, the statutes of the Lord, the decrees of God are right, helping us to rejoice. And it rejoices our heart. Remember in Philippians 4 and verse 4. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul said again, I say, do what? Rejoice in the Lord. But how can I rejoice if I'm sick? How can I rejoice whenever things are not going like I'd like for them to go? You know someone who can make you well. You know how someone can help you work things out. You believe in Him. They are what? Right. And you know God's going to help you and lead you to bring about that rejoicing that you're a child of His. And then he says the commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. You want to be spiritually minded? You want to see things as they really are? Listen to the commandments of the Lord. All thy commandments our righteousness, the Bible tells us. The commandment of the Lord is right. Add to that the fear of the Lord, which is clean. It's pure. It's enduring, never ending. What we have from the Almighty God to make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. When John was writing, he said in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, my friend, nothing, not one thing God has ever done that wasn't right. He's always done that which is right. In Psalms 119, verse 172, thy commandments are righteousness. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, you remember there are two people that are spoken of, and they are Zechariah and Elizabeth. And guess what the Bible says about Zechariah and Elizabeth? They're walking in the fear of the Lord, in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And that little word, blameless, is put there next to their name. Can you find a man and a woman who is serving the Lord, both of them, and look what the Bible says about them? They're blameless. They're walking in the commandments. They know the commandments, and they're walking in those commandments, for they know they are true, and they are right. Finally, he says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Yes, all the judgments that God has ever made, it's always been that which is right. We are fortunate today to be in America. We are blessed today to have a beautiful flag that we honor, that we respect. We live in the land of the free. How long will it be free? The answer is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 32. As long as men and women, boys and girls will listen to the God who is above all found written and inscribed in the book of God as one that is holy, right, and good, then we can hope for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and for the future of this great land that we're living in today as we celebrate tomorrow, July the 4th. Thank God for the great, wonderful blessings that we have. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that's a beautiful statement. My wife and I hardly ever go to sleep without quoting that verse. Listen to it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Tell you what, it's a beautiful way to live, isn't it? And it's a real satisfying way to die. There's a man one time, as he was dying, said, "Hand me the book." And they asked him, "What book do you want?" He said, "There's only one book for a dying man." And I would add to that, there's only one book for both a dying man and for a living man. Yes, God's precious truth. Our God is great. How great thou art. But look at the marvelous plan of salvation. It is equally showing the beauty and the greatness of God. For the person who is the alien sinner, never having obeyed the gospel, the book of God can be opened up and you can read about the word and how that Paul says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How do you know what to do to be saved? Well, hear it. Hear what? Hear the word of God. Believe what you hear. In Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now I want to add to that. In John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." But he wants every man to come to the Father through him. He died for you. He died for me. Believe that, and believe that he is the Christ. Just like those people who were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. The Bible tells us they asked what we must do in Acts 2, verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acknowledge the sweetest name, O mortal tongue. Can you imagine that? What that must be to heaven, to hear one stand up and say, "I believe with all my heart, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." You know what Jesus says about that? "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Be baptized. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." It's not going to save you if you don't do what you're supposed to do in order to be saved. "As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3 and verse 27. Alien sinners then are added as they obey the gospel. And guess what? They're added by the Lord to his church. Acts 2 verse 47. Yes, our God is a great God. And in his simple language that he gives us, he tells us what he wants us to do to become his children. And then, those who are erring children of God, and they do err. We do make mistakes. What should we do? Well, there was a man in Acts chapter 8 who had just offered Peter and the others money that he might be able to do what they could do. Peter said, "Your heart's not right with God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon said, pray for me that this not happen. Yes, confess it, as James says in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, when Jeff asked me this morning to have this special prayer for Betty and to pray for the people that are sick, if I'm not a person that God hears, look how vain that would be. I hope He does. I believe He does. I want to be, don't you? I want to be someone that is truly doing to the best of our ability the will of God and ask for prayers. Ask others to pray with you and for you. That's the erring child that can come back. Come back to the Lord. You may have left Him, but He sure wants you back. And He's doing everything He can to call you back. And then just live a faithful life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our God is a God. God, how great Thou art. You and I are here before Him here at O'Neill today. We stand before Him as we are. But you know what? We're singing an invitation this morning that can encourage you, hopefully, to come to Him. If you've never been baptized, arise. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call in on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. If you have, you haven't lived faithfully, God's blessed you with extended life. What are you doing with it? Surely come back and ask His forgiveness. Let's pray with you and for you. All this is just so simple. But you know why it is so great? Because it's God's Word. It's what God says. It's what God wants us to do. And if you're in the assembly this morning and you're subject anyway, we trust that you'll come now. Give me your hand, but guard your heart and obey Him while together we stand and while we